my name's Mark and I'm an addict. And yeah, thank God. Today I have a bit of understanding around my illness. I have a bit of understanding about my illness of addiction, and I've found the solution that treats it. I was listening to the readings, and in the first one, who is an addict, you know, it says that very simply an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. And you know, I come to these meetings, I'm in this fellowship, as I identify with, you know, other people in this fellowship. That's the kind of common denominator that I have. But I kind of needed to go a little bit further into actually what my addiction, entailed. And and in the chapter, in the basic text, it elaborates a little more. It says addiction isn't an illness that just involves taking drugs. Many of us believe we had the illness of addiction long before we picked drugs up. And that's my experience, particularly through working through steps 4 and 5, I was able to see that clearly. In step 1 it says that addiction is an illness that affects, it's a physical, a mental and a spiritual illness. And for me, I was able to trace that well before I picked drugs up. And from very, very early memories, you know, I can kind of see that symptoms of that spiritual malady in me. From being a very young kid, I would compare myself to people, and really feel that I kind of came up short. I can remember from a really young age, kind of primary school age, being brought over to the park with my mum and one of her friends. That's about 5 or 6 years old, and my mum's character. It says that, you know, in Who Is an Addict, that our illness expresses itself in antisocial ways. And that kind of fear around people was something that was really kind of evident in me from a really young age. You know, I'd kind of look at my mum, and she was very, very chatty. She talked loud. She laughed a lot. She had a real powerful kind of aura around her, very good and comfortable around people. And I used to look at her, and I'd, you know, and I'd kind of size myself up, and I felt the opposite. You know, I was very kind of quite introverted, and just felt a bit uncomfortable around people. And I don't know if shame is a bit strong a label to kind of put on that feeling at that young age, but from a very young age, I kind of felt that I came up short around other people, and that progressed. I've heard this mentioned in meetings before, and it's been my experience as well. I very young, I don't know, kind of 7, 8 years old or something, I found some photos in my mum and dad's flat of when they married. They had me before they married. I was in the photos. I think I was about 4 years old or something in the photos, 3 or 4 years old. And at that young age, it was kind of like, right, this makes sense. I'm not part of this family. I must have been adopted. That feeling of being outside of groups and a detachment, the symptoms of my spiritual malady, I could see that very early in my life. And and as I say, it progressed, you know, and I'd kind of hit my teens, and I wasn't able to do a lot of the social things that a lot of my friends were doing, and I'd start to give myself a hard time around it. I'd start to be resentful towards other people that could do this stuff. I'd start to, as I say, give myself a hard time. The obsession would kind of kick in. You know, I'd think if I look like him, if I can have a tear up like him, if I dress like him, then I'd feel comfortable, then I'd feel complete, and then I'd be able to, you know, to do a lot of this stuff that I've seen other kids do that I struggled doing. And the physical, the physical element of the illness. I found drugs, and that was my solution. It took away, I got immediate comfort. It took away that kind of sense of awkwardness around people. It was fantastic. Drugs in all different forms was my solution. And it really worked for me for a few years. I'm an addict and it progressed, and I lost the ability to, The first time I ever, used a mood or mind altering substance, I got drunk when I was 11. It was my best friend's older sister's birthday party in an estate, in a clubhouse on the estate that we lived in, and I forged a letter from my gran, said she's ill, will they serve me, her grandson? And I drank a bottle of gin, and I had a blackout. That was my first experience of using, and I had no control over it. And that was to be a familiar pattern for me throughout my using. My experience is I can't use like other, like normal people, sociably. When I put any type of drug, a liquid one in a pint glass, a sticky one in a carrier bag, whatever, fluid one in a 1 mil, whatever, it sets off a physical craving and I lose all control. I can't control my using. So what started off as the solution to my Harold Lloyd-esque fucking awkwardness, only added to the problem. And I just have, I had no control over drugs. My defence, I used to drink alcoholically, and throughout the 90s, it progressed to I was intravenously using and drinking alcoholically, and I used to go over a lot. And I'd come out of my local hospital, going to school, and my defence against, what was blatantly fucking nearly killing me was, right, I've fucking got it sussed. When I fucking knock back them half a dozen Kestrel Supers and then having it, that's where the drama is. I'll slowly sip two throughout the day and then having it. That was the kind of defence that I had again, had no control over my using whatsoever. Even before the days that I was more physically dependent on Class A drugs in the 80s, I had, a horrendous overdose on a bottle of barbiturates, tuna, while on an alcohol blackout, and was in a coma on a life support, had a tracheotomy. my lungs were full of vomit and I stopped breathing, and was in intensive care for a long time. Miraculous act of God that I survived that, and a few months later I was offered a heroin and I took it. And I took heroin for the next 10 years. I wasn't a fucking stupid person. I'd already had friends at that time that had died from heroin. I had no control over drugs whatsoever. And step one is it's the one step that I have to have total acceptance over. It's not just I can't control drugs. The third part of the illness, the obsession. What my problem is that I didn't have a sufficient enough power in my life that would give me control over my unmanageable thinking. That's where the problem lies, I found out in step four what it was that fueled that unmanageable thinking. But, I try not to sidetrack, but throughout my life, as I say, even before being physically addicted to Class A drugs, that is the problem, my unmanageable thinking. Kind of mentioned this last night, but it's kind of, I've been thinking a bit about step one recently and it's on my mind again now. There was a time when a fella where we lived, the fucking local face of terror, he'd just come out for 15 years, in jail for doing armed robberies. He was only out a couple of years. He's doing about 25 years now for shooting at the police. Armed robberies, absolute fucking nightmare. Walked in the pub, everyone side-doored it after 20 minutes. He offered to lay me on with drugs, and I took the pass. I convinced myself, my selfishness and my self-centeredness, my self-centered fear that was constantly looking for things outside of me to fix that spiritual malady. I thought, yeah, fantastic idea. You know, I took the drugs. I had no control over my unmanageable thinking of spending his drug money. The following day, he said, what have you fucking done being in fear of my life? And that was a familiar pattern for me, not having a power in my life that would give me sufficient control over my unmanageable thinking. And I would tread on other people's toes. My self-centered fear that manifests itself in all different specific defects was the fuel in my life. And I would forever be upsetting people, treading on their toes, forever putting myself in situations where I leave myself open to be hurt and to blame other people. And that would constantly bring on an obsession to use. Thank God, you know, I have a program that kind of goes down to the source. Initially, my program was just don't pick up the first one. If I could do that, I fucking wouldn't need to come to meetings. I remember Nancy Reagan addressing America, saying, just say no, in the 80s. And that was a couple of months before I had a fucking massive cracker epidemic. Do you know what I mean? That is not my defence, just don't pick up the first one. If I could do that, you know, I wouldn't need to be here. I need a spiritual program that treats my self-centred illness, and that in itself takes care of an obsession to use. I don't get one when I work a program. The 12-step program. You know, for a few years I struggled. You know, I'd come to meetings and... it was kind of a case of monkey see, monkey do. You know, I'm not tradition four, fantastic. Each group's autonomous, it encourages diversity, brilliant. But I kind of had a program of coming to meetings and you know, I'd been in treatment, I took part in feelings groups, and I don't know, my program was slogans, don't pick up the first one, it works if you work it, it's a work if you work it. And group therapy, really. And that just didn't work for me. I was constant. It was like 999 fucking recovery, like a week, monthly cycle, constantly sharing about my latest self-imposed crisis. And I would get periods of abstinence and then I'd use. And through desperation, I got a sponsor and I put some effort in I've got a sponsor that's guiding me through the 12 steps. And I have a daily program of action and giving something back, and it's changed everything dramatically. My life has changed dramatically. I believe that we do recover. I used to be confused about that. I thought, recover? I used to think recovered meant cured. I have an incurable illness. I will never be cured. But I looked up the word recovered in a dictionary, and the definition I got was to regain a stable condition. And I have that today. I don't obsess about using drugs. I still, I still don't get my own way, and I blow hot air, you know, mentally and in my feelings at times. But my life has changed dramatically. You know, I do step 10s, I do spot check step 10s, I do a written inventory at night. I'd have a daily program, basically. I pray a couple of times a day, I write a gratitude list at night and read it in the morning. I'm of service every day, even if it's just ringing to newcomers every day. And it's amazing. I fucking would have went through the whole of my life not realising that it's when I give, that this program is about love and service. And that when I give, that's when I get what is best for me. I constantly thought if I get this, that will fix me. All that effort, all that lying, cheating, fucking top class manipulating, all it'd get me would be a single cell and an overwhelming desire to fix myself with heroin. Do you know what I mean? I've learned that this program is about love and service, and you know, I have a sponsor, but I fucking share my, I do the verbal diary thing. On Monday he said this, she said that, I felt this, my head said that. You know, that is a vital part of my program. And I do that with my sponsor, because just like it says in the How It Works chapter, the therapeutic value of one addict sharing with another is without parallel, because one addict can best understand, 9 times out of 10 I'll get identification, you know, and help another addict. I'll get encouragement, support and guidance. I kind of weren't getting that when I was just dumping it in meetings. I'm going to finish up, but on my step on my step eight list, there was lots of friends that are dead now. There's lots of faceless people that were victims of my crimes that I can't make direct amends to. There was a girl that I introduced to heroin. I used to knock her up when I was at me nut, give her gear that she didn't fucking want, drive her fucking mad. After X amount of time, I went into treatment and she died of a heroin overdose. You know, I'll never be able to make amends to her, but you know, there are people like her that come to meetings that desperately want to hear, what do I do to lose this obsession to use? So, you know, for me personally, and because Tradition 5 works, it's part of the programme and the programme works, I need to just give something a bit more productive than I really need a meeting. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, and so thanks for giving me the chance to do that. I'll leave it there. Cheers.